And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Just enjoyed it. And you know, I really did. My weekends are always very busy, but I had the privilege of going out to Woodland Park, just, 20 miles north of Colorado Springs, about 8,000 feet high, and spent some time out there with Andrew Womack and David Barton. We were doing some taping out there for some things that will be coming up, that I'll tell you more about as we get closer to them, that will be coming up for the election. But while I was there, you know, I had an opportunity to, of course, spend a little time alone looking out at the mountains and the scenery. And I'm sure you all know that that is where Pike's Peak is. And Pike's Peak is where Catherine Bates, former president of Wellesley College, how different Wellesley College must have been in her day. She wrote that in 1893. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And you know, I was looking out at the mountains and the grass and the trees and the beauty, and you know, just reminding me, in fact, I did a little Facebook Live presentation to my supporters on my Facebook page, but it just reminded me, we have a beautiful country. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. And while I was talking to David and Andrew, one of the things that came up in all this Black Lives Matter riots and the protests and the Antifa nonsense that's going on across the country, I reminded them of the tremendous decency of the American people. Not that they needed to be reminded, but really talking, of course, to each other and to our audience. The tremendous decency of the American people. The honor, the hard work, the integrity. Look, we're not perfect people. Not a single one of us is. There's only been one perfect person in the history of mankind, and that's Jesus Christ, our Savior. But I've traveled this entire nation, and I think I've told you, I've been to every state in the country other than Hawaii, and I'll get there eventually. But what I've found all across this country is people who are just decent, and not out to hurt anybody, not out to discriminate against anybody, not out to do harm to anybody, just people living and working and taking care of their families and trying to do what is best and what is right. And we have a beautiful country, a beautiful country. You know, when I campaigned in Virginia, I had the privilege of campaigning in Southwest Virginia. And Southwest Virginia is the most rural part of the state. And frankly, there's often Southwest Virginia feels neglected and forgotten because Southwest Virginia is beyond Roanoke, and it is very rural and the least populated portion of the state, but it is gorgeous out there. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. And the people are just the most decent, down-the-earth people you ever want to meet. And I had a reporter say to me when I was running for office, and you know, we had my billboards all over the state, and they had my picture on them, and there were billboards all over Southwest Virginia. And I had a reporter say to me, yeah, I was really shocked that they had billboards of a black man out in Southwest Virginia. They actually put your picture up all over the place. And you know, it just struck me. I just thought that was so weird. But it just goes to show how obsessed people are, and the left is particularly, with skin color, because you know it never crossed my mind, because I just found those folks to be warm and earthy and decent, and never felt a single shred, not an iota, not a scintilla of discomfort or made to feel different because I'm black. I mean, it just never, ever entered my mind. And yet, that's the way the left thinks. What I found are people who I just love to go just spend time with, because they're just wonderful folks. One of my friends out there, he's since passed away, but he and I were joking about the fact that he had moved from a more urban part of Virginia, frankly, where I live now, Hampton Roads area, and moved way out in Southwest Virginia and had a home way kind of way out in the woods, you know, up on a hill. And I joked with him. I said, "Hey, Jim," I said, "what's way out here? Why?" He said, "Well, brother, I want to see him coming from a long way off." And he and I just laughed and just chuckled, you know, because, I mean, there's a certain element of truth in it. But just here again, so while I'm experiencing the beauty of Pikes Peak and the Colorado mountains and the blue sky and the grass and the trees and the deer, you know, watching the deer run around, because, you know, these deer are not skittish about human beings at all. They run around downtown, for example, in Woodlake Park. They'll just walk up and down the street. Chicago, Portland, trying to paint a very different picture of America than the one I know to be our reality. I see the beauty, I see the decency of our people, and there are folks out there. In fact, I checked it, 2,000 cities and towns across the country have had protests and riots. All of our territories have had them in solidarity. I mean, actually about 60 countries, this thing has gone worldwide. And I'm out there enjoying this beauty and thinking about what a wonderful country this is and how great our people are. And yet you've got these leftists, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the George Soros funded crowd trying to destabilize, disrupt, to sow the seeds of division and hatred and bitterness and anger and destruction and violence. And the people of Chicago, the people of Portland, and in other cities across the country, by the way, they're being told a lie, because they're being told that that mess that the left is creating, that's America. No, no. The America is the America I know and love. That's really America. That's the true America. And they're trying to pervert that vision and create a different picture in the minds, particularly of our young people, but of any citizen who will be gullible enough to buy into it and convince us America is a terrible place. Oh, it's a horrible place. It's such an unjust place. It's so racist. It's so sexist. Folks, there's only one antidote to lies, the truth. That's why I'm so honored to be a part of this network, because we're committed to giving you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Do we have idiots in America? Of course we do. You know what I mean? I think you'll find an overrepresentation of them on the left, frankly, but we have them, you know, scattered throughout our country here and there. But the culture of America is a culture of decency and honor and neighborliness and care and concern for one another. It's the Judeo-Christian values and ethics that made this country great. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. appears that most school districts are headed for another round of online learning. Professor Mark Bauerlein, author of the book The Dumbest Generation, identifies many problems with online learning and provides some suggestions for parents. The major problem with online learning is that it occurs on a tool that students already use to play video games, share photos, watch shows, check Instagram, send messages, order food, get directions, and tweet. It isn't easy for even the most dedicated students to refocus it on reading, writing, taking tests, and submitting schoolwork. He recommends that parents have their students do a writing assignment on paper with a print dictionary and a thesaurus. Don't read books online. Even when they are watching educational videos, have them take notes by hand in a spiral notebook. Meanwhile, other researchers at the American Enterprise Institute wonder if we're getting our money's worth with online learning. The average cost for public school pupil in the United States is $13,600 a year. Then they went back and calculated the actual cost of live instruction, instructional resources, building maintenance, meals, and computer access. They conclude that remote school cost on a per pupil basis only $5,229. Put another way, public schools doing online learning are delivering about 38 cents of education for every dollar in outlays. They conclude that schools that don't intend to open this fall have no reason to resist sharing resources with parents who are shouldering the burdens that remote learning entails. In a sense, we're being overcharged for inadequate education. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Helium in Rocks. This is Ken Ham, author of the books The Dinosaurs of Eden and D is for Dinosaur. When certain elements in rocks decay, they produce helium. Now, helium's very slippery, quickly leaving the rock. It leaves so fast that it should have leaked out within just 100,000 years. And yet, rocks are full of helium, even in rocks thought to be over a billion years old. This fact is another big challenge to evolutionists. But it's not a problem for the biblical worldview. The Earth is only about 6,000 years old. When we measure the amount of helium in rocks from the original creation, they've lost only about 6,000 years worth of helium. Science always confirms God's word. We live on a young Earth.
Discover more about geology, our young Earth, and what the Bible says about science at AnswersRadio.com. You'll be equipped with answers when you visit AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Will college football be played this year? A liberal embraces hydroxychloroquine because it saved his life. Trump's suspension of the payroll tax is perfectly legal and will give every working American a 7% wage increase. And a Democrat who voted to defund the police has called the cops to his home 8 times since April. That and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. So I started the program off talking about the beauty of our country. And you know, there's beauty not only in nature and in the wonderful vistas from sea to shining sea, but in what we built. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to Chicago. I've been there several times. And you know, Chicago, downtown Chicago, is a beautiful city when it's not 10 degrees below zero. You know, because gets pretty cold in Chicago. I don't want to visit Chicago in the dead of the winter. But the rioters this past weekend decided they were going to do something about the architectural beauty of Chicago. They rampaged through what's called the Magnificent Mile, which is in downtown Chicago. Just a place to shop and work and you know, just something wonderful that human beings have built over the years. But oh, no, we can't have that. That's another symbol of the wonder that is the United States of America. So let's destroy that. And that's what they did. They went through rioting and looting for nearly 5 hours. They broke store windows. They knocked down doors. In one case, I think somebody drove a car through the front of a store. And the thing is, apparently, the police, even in Chicago, are saying it was very well organized. They use guns. The efforts of looters seem to be choreographed. There was one case in which they were dragging an ATM down the street near the Chicago Theater, which is apparently a legendary theater. They, of course, chanted what they generally tend to chant about the police. And I won't even bother to repeat the phrase because you can imagine what it is. It's very vulgar. And even breaking into banks, folks, a place called Sally Beauty Supply, and I think that's a chain. I think those exist around the country. If I'm not mistaken, now you all correct me if I'm wrong about this, because obviously I don't go into beauty supply stores, so you have to forgive me for not being an expert on beauty supply stores. If my wife were here, she could tell me without even blinking exactly what Sally Beauty Supply is, but I think it caters primarily to black women. But anyway, they ripped that off. They cleaned everything out of there, took everything out of there. They bashed windows of the Omega store, the Louis Vuitton store. They just tore up everything in sight. So while I'm reflecting out in Colorado on the beauty of our country, and that includes not only nature, but the things that we as human beings have built in this nation, these folks are trying to tear everything up that has been built. I said this early on in this process, and I probably was not, I of course, on this network, you would have heard it from others, but generally speaking in the population, you would have heard this in very, very few places because people got caught up in the romanticism of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, because look at what happened to George Floyd. Well, this is what I said, that George Floyd's mistreatment that may have in part led to his death. Of course, some people are saying he died of a heart attack because he was on drugs at the time, but that doesn't justify what was done to him. So either way, what happened to George Floyd, I've said, was a work of the devil. But what has happened in response is just as much a work of the devil as what happened to George Floyd. Think of all the young people who have died, all the property has been destroyed, all the people have been killed, all the police that have been attacked. And you can't justify that by saying, well, we're protesting police brutality and we've got to get everybody's attention. Look, if the root is evil, the fruit is evil. And the root of this thing is not justice. The root of this thing is Marxism. That's the root of it. The root of it is fundamentally trying to change this nation into something that God never intended, the founding fathers never would have wanted, and the Constitution doesn't allow. But none of that gets in the way of these destructive far-left people whose whole vision for this country is one of anarchy and chaos and hatred and bitterness and anger. And they've been accusing conservatives for years of being purveyors of hatred. But now we're finding out who the real haters are. And see, that's because what they have done is they've conflated conservative hatred of bad ideas, and it is right to hate bad ideas. The Bible says we're supposed to do that. Psalm 119, verses 104 and 128 both say, because all your precepts are right, I hate every false way. I hate the false way. I don't hate the people, but I hate the false way. They've conflated that with hating people. But the fact of the matter is, the left has as their default position, hate the people. Hate them. If they're not saying what you want them to say, if they're not behaving the way you want them to behave, if they're not responding the way you want them to respond, hate their guts and hurt them if you can. Indeed, kill them if you can. So who are the real haters here? What's happening right now in Chicago? And by the way, that's just the riot aspect of things, not to mention in the normal discourse of Chicago, 35 people shot, 4 people killed over the weekend. I guess the criminal class is saying, well, you know, we're not going to let the rioters outdo us. And Mayor Lightfoot, they really ought to rename her Mayor Lightweight, because this woman doesn't have a clue. She really doesn't. She does not have a clue. She may know a lot about homosexuality and lesbianism. You know, she proudly proclaims that and stands up there with her so-called wife, which is not a wife. You can't be a wife to a woman. But nevertheless, she knows a lot about all that. But this woman does not have a clue as to what to do about the total disorder that has descended upon her city. So yeah, Mayor Lightweight, because that's exactly what she is. I just hope the people of Chicago, particularly the black residents of Chicago, will wake up to something I've been saying all along. These leftists, these Democrats, do not care about you. They're not interested in your progress. They're interested in power, and they will use you to keep it. And keeping you in a place of subservience and subsistence and a place of victimization is part of their strategy for staying in power. They don't want you to prosper. They don't want your children to get a good education. They don't want you in a position to move out of the ghetto. They don't want to see economic revival come into these communities that raises the standard of living. They don't want to see families rebuilt so that children have a father in the home. They don't want to see any of that, because all of that leads to a healthy people who don't depend upon the government's largesse to build a life for themselves. And they need people who depend upon them. I hope all of this stuff is going to ultimately wake the black community up to the fact that they're being manipulated. They're being manipulated by the far left. They're being manipulated by the Democrat Party that has allowed itself to be taken wholesale by the far left. And they're being sold a bill of goods, namely Marxism and socialism and communism, as the answer to their problems, when in fact, the real answer to their problems is the way America was originally designed, which is to be a nation of individual liberty, personal responsibility, free markets, maximum potential ability for each individual to fulfill his potential or her potential through freedom, and minimum interference by the government that is limited by the Constitution of the United States. You couldn't have a better design for people to reach the potential which God put inside them. And you got a bunch of people telling you, oh, no, that's not the answer. Oh, no. We need a more totalitarian system that controls everybody and tells everybody what they have to think, what they have to say, what they have to do. And then we'll create real justice. The only problem is that pathway to justice is strewn with the bodies of 100 million dead people killed by Marxism and communism and socialism in their quest to create this utopia. I hope the people in these cities will ultimately wake up and stop putting these people in office who are going to do nothing but trample their rights, do nothing but leave their children uneducated, do nothing but witness their children dying in the streets, and then pat themselves on the back as if they've done some great thing. Folks, it's a travesty. I'm going to take your calls when we come back. 888-589-8840. Stand by.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. If one wishes to locate the Mount of Beatitudes in the Holy Land, he has to accept what tradition says. For it is tradition alone which identifies the site of the most profound sermon in history. The spot is placed on the northwest shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, on a hill high above a little place called Tabgha. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. For centuries, it has been accepted that Jesus began his immortal sermon on this hillside. It would seem fitting, for the view from this traditional site is absolutely beautiful. To the north is Capernaum, the adopted home of Jesus. To the south is Magdala, home of Mary Magdalene. From here, one can see the city of Tiberias, built by Herod Antipas and named after the Roman Emperor Tiberius. Built over a cemetery, the city was avoided by devout Jews. Happy are those who work for peace among men. God will call them his sons. Above the beautiful Sea of Galilee, you can see the Golan Heights area. You can see the Gan emplacements used by the Syrians. The contrast is bitter. You're the salt for all mankind. You are the light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. You look to the north in the city of Safed. Was it this city Jesus pointed toward as he spoke? Looking down on the Sea of Galilee, you wonder how many lives those words have changed. You have heard that it was said, love your friends, hate your enemies. But now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who mistreat you so that you will become sons of your Father in heaven. You close your eyes and listen. You go back across the centuries in your mind, and you imagine the scene that day. You can see the surprise spread throughout the crowd gathered here on the hillside as Jesus spoke those shocking words. So when you give something to a needy person, do not make a big show of it, as the show-offs do in the synagogues and on the streets. You listen, and you can hear his words blowing in the wind. For a moment, you touch back into the present, wondering if, indeed, it was here, on this site, that he preached that sermon. Then, suddenly, it doesn't matter if it was here or over there or somewhere else. What matters is that he did preach it. You look around this lovely area and see the variety of crops growing. You see the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Suddenly, you realize where Jesus gathered his food for thought. It was here, all around us. Down on the Sea of Galilee, you notice that a storm has begun. How quickly these waters can become rough and dangerous. You recall the incident when the disciples were frightened by a storm on these very waters, and how the lowly Galilean hushed the storm. Jesus finished saying these things, and the crowds were amazed at the way he taught. He wasn't like their teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. So Matthew makes his comment on the sermon. Later, others were to report, "Never a man spoke like this man." The Sermon on the Mount, perhaps preached here on the Mount of Beatitudes, has had its profound effect upon the life of mankind.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let me just add a couple of other things to the mix, and then I want to come to your calls. So, in Portland, this past weekend, rioters busted up concrete into rocks small enough to hurl at police, injuring police. And the police basically are hand-tied, hamstrung. They are not allowed to respond, even though a rock hurled at a policeman could kill that police officer or create a concussion and even cause a police officer to end up with brain damage if they're hit hard enough in the wrong way. And the police are models of restraint. In some cases, inappropriately so, because their local governments have basically told them, if they kill you, that's okay. But if you hurt one of them, oh, well, then you're going to jail. Philadelphia, this year, 100 children have been killed in street violence. 100 children in Philadelphia have been killed in street violence. Just this past Saturday night, Zamar Jones, 6 years old, shot in the chest while playing outside with friends and may not survive. Oh, but you know what's wonderful about it, though? Black Lives Matter is really, have you noticed how up in arms they are? Since they're so concerned about saving black people, they see these children dying like this, 100 children in Philadelphia alone, and they're up in arms. They're protesting. They're demanding action. They're demanding law and order. They're demanding that the lives of these children be saved. No. Silence. Because as I said before, they could care less about the lives of any black people or any people at all. All they care about is having an agenda to advance their own perverse quest for power and the transformation of this country into something that would leave us all in horror. That's why they're silent that Zamar Jones has been shot in the chest while playing on the playground with her friends. Please, I have no patience with it, folks. None whatsoever. And I am not going to mince words in denouncing that evil mess. All lives matter. That's what we need. And in fact, I'm going to get into that later on, not in today's program. But you know, our young people are suffering from suicide. Our young people are having a very difficult time with depression and basically because we've taken away the supports that give life meaning, our young people, in their immaturity, are among the biggest victims of this across all racial and cultural lines. Young Americans of European descent, generally, there is an epidemic of suicide. Young Americans of African descent, there's an epidemic of murder. But they're all dying, and all lives do matter. And I hope it makes these leftists so mad they can't see straight when they hear me say it. All lives matter. Don't even get me started, folks. Every time I hear about one of these children dying, 100 children in Philadelphia, it just makes my blood boil. And these people running around acting like they're doing some great thing. Yes, we're saving black lives. Please, give me a break. All they're doing is propping themselves up and propping up evil. The number is 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear you weigh in on what's going on in our country today. I didn't even get into Rob McCoy. Rob McCoy is a friend of mine out in Thousand Oaks who was threatened with arrest yesterday for having church services because he was ordered by a judge not to have church services. Yeah, well, that's what they've got in mind for America. Yeah, we'll control these churches. We'll just shut them down. Oh. Let's come to your calls. 888-589-8840. What we need is more church right now, not less. A whole lot more church right now. Praise God. The love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Almighty God is exactly what we need right now. Okay, let's go to Kate in Texas. Kate, welcome.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hi, Kate.
Hi, my name's Katie, and I'm in rural Texas.
Katie.
Hi. You mentioned George Soros earlier, and
yes.
My question is, can you help me to understand why he is so intent to influence our liberals, and how does it benefit him, and if he doesn't even live here, why does he support, throw his money behind all of this?
Well, Katie, I think he does have a home here, and I'm pretty sure he's an American citizen. Why he does what he does, Katie, I think the Bible has a concept which I think is always applicable in these kinds of situations, and it's called the mystery of iniquity. In other words, there's a certain human mystery to why people set themselves on evil. And because it's always ultimately self-destructive, but they do it anyway. And he's one of those people who would be the first to go if communists took over. I mean, he would be one of the first to go. They take everything he's got for the revolution, for the movement. And he's one of those people that Stalin used to refer to as useful idiots. In other words, they're going along with a program that ultimately will bring about their own death and destruction. So why he does it, I don't know what's going on in his head that makes him susceptible to this. But let's face it, we know what the real answer is. Ultimately, the real answer is that people need Jesus. Yeah, people need Jesus. And I know, you know, the left will go crazy and say, well, he's Jewish. Ooh, how dare you say that? Everybody needs Jesus. I got news for you. You know, it doesn't matter what your religion is, what your background is, what your race is, what your nationality is, your ethnicity. Doesn't matter. Everybody needs Jesus. And George Soros certainly is among everybody, last time I checked. So, but thank you for the call, Katie. We appreciate it. That's the best I can do. I think that there is something of a mystery to why sometimes evil people do the things that they do. Let's go to Doc in Florida. Doc, welcome.
Bishop, I got to tell you, you are definitely the voice that's crying out. You remind me of John the Baptist. When I hear your show, I just have to stop and say, wow, this guy is crying out the truth, and I thank God for you.
Thank you, Doc. You touched on
Mayor Lightfoot. To me, yeah. Every time I look at her talk, she reminds me of if Beetlejuice and what's that boxer, Don King, had a baby. I mean, just looking at her talk, and she said out of her own mouth, she needs people to be sworn in to the New World Order. This thing is much deeper than what the masses see. Because they keep voting in Dems and keep getting the same results. Chicago themselves said Barack Obama would go down as the worst president in history. This is what the people in Chicago were saying about Obama, but yet they keep electing Democrats. And if I can say one more thing that shows you that it's okay. 4 million people, 4 million blacks were set free from slavery in 1865. 6 months later, the Democrats made another law to keep them back in slavery. It's called the Vagrancy Act of 1866. Just 6 months later, and if you walked outside and you appeared, look up the law, Vagrancy Act of 1866. If you appear to not have a job, they would arrest you and get 3 months in prison. But if you appear to not have a home, just appear. That's why the old folks would say, have a little money in your pocket. We didn't know why. But if you appeared to not have a job or a home, they'd arrest you, put you in jail. Now, check this out, Bishop. It gets crazier. When you walk out of jail, you look left, right. You appeared in the...
Hey, Doc, listen, I see where you're going. And those are great historical insights. And I'm sure everybody's going to look up and see exactly what you're referring to. But you're right. The Democrat Party, I said the spirit that it had then, it still has now. Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
America has seen her share of changes in recent years. Thankfully, some of those changes are for the better. But others bring us much concern. And to be concerned is a good start for us, but it's only a start. The AFA Journal is the magazine for people who are not only concerned about the direction our nation is headed, but they're determined to do something about it. The AFA Journal, online and in print. Visit afajournal.org today.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for a free sneak preview.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is coming soon. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
It's a hard season for college students right now. It's foggy. No one knows when it's going to end.
Dr. Barry Corey on Focus on the Family Minute.
This is an opportunity for students to see these constraints as a virtue and not as a curse. And so, you know, when Paul talks about, like, you know, suffering brings about perseverance, perseverance brings about character, character brings about hope. To get from suffering to hope, there are those way stations along the way. And what is it like for this generation to understand? What does it mean to persevere? And how is character development happening? And what are you going to do to restore the sick and help those who are poor and homeless and times of oppression, educating the illiterate? All of those things have happened over the years with the rising generation. And it can happen again right now in community with students, even if it's a virtual community. So I see this as a great opportunity.
More from Dr. Corey at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, I'll tell you something. You learn something new every day. The Vagrancy Act of 1866, I was unaware of it, and I want to thank Doc for bringing that up. The Vagrancy Act of 1866, you folks can look it up, and he is absolutely right. Another strategy that the Democrat Party used to keep people under control, and it has not changed its stripes. It really hasn't. Appreciate that, Doc. Let's go to, and by the way, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines. Let's go to Edna in Texas. Edna, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, glad to have you.
I appreciate everything that you do and tell us and inform us, but there's a little bit of insecurity here when it comes to these minor shelters that are spotting up all over the place.
Okay, and are you going in and out on me? I think your phone is.
Yes. I would like to say that a lot of these...
Okay, Edna, thank you for the call. I call back again on a different line so that we can hear you, because right now you're sort of blanking in and out, and we want to be able to hear your thought clearly, Edna. So call me back on a different line, okay, where I can definitely hear you. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Let's go to Terry in Mississippi. Terry, welcome.
Oh, thank you so very much for taking my call. I'm so grateful for your show. I'm relatively new to the show. My question today is, I have two children in their early 20s raised in the church, and they are growing up in much time of misinformation and the Twitter generation. Yeah. Besides shows like yours and others on AFR, could you guide us parents into other places or ways we could steer our children to get a biblical worldview and the right information?
Wow, Terry, that is a great, great question. And there are a lot of different sources for doing that. But the one that comes first to mind is something called the Foundation for American Christian Education, FACE. The Foundation for American Christian Education. And folks, you all can Google that. It was founded by a friend of mine, Carol Adams. wonderful Christian woman, patriot, has built a tremendous school here in our area, but FACE serves schools all over the country. They are helping my wife with our church school, and they will help homeschool parents. They will help anybody with good information. In fact, a lot of the historical information that I have gleaned, in addition to people like David Barton, I get from FACE because they've got some wonderful historical books. And their whole educational program is around meeting the vision of the Founding Fathers, which was that you can't have a free people who don't understand virtue, and that virtue comes from God. And so you can't separate education from the Word of God and from Christian character. And so I would check out FACE. That's where I'd start. Obviously, Wall Builders is another great, because that's primarily history. Andrew Womack just produced a series called Biblical Worldview, and you can order that through Andrew Womack Ministries. I'm only scratching the surface here, because there are a lot of great organizations out there. And in fact, folks, maybe what I will do is make a list of some of those when I come on the program, share some of those with you so that those of you who are really hungering for that can have a variety of sources to go to. But that would be a great place to start. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Robert in Indiana. Robert, welcome.
Hello, how you doing, Bishop Jack?
I'm doing great. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Little sitting here in amazement of our people, period, that don't seem to understand. I think education seems to get them a little bit past the common sense point. You know, you... I'm hearing this left, right wing, and I'm hearing the history of Democrats and Republicans, which we, if, like you say, you can read up on that, the founding forefathers. But when it comes to right is right and wrong is wrong. And it seems like everybody's adding fire to this, to keep everybody confused and under the right direction. We need somebody somehow to get on an independent and get everybody on the right page, because you keep using these issues, these conversations, of what took place in history. And even now, if you even want to talk about the Democrats, yeah, they behind the wall, but the Republicans is right there in your face doing it. So the old saying of choose one of the lesser of the evil, it ain't one.
Yeah.
It just really ain't one right now.
Well, Robert, there's no perfect human being. That includes yours truly. It includes you, too. I think the difference, though, that we have to confront is the difference between two philosophies, two ideologies, two platforms. And you know, Jesus made something very clear. He said, he that is not with me is against me. He that does not gather with me scatters abroad. And in other words, he was saying, there's no compromise between these two different worldviews. If you are against what I'm teaching, you are against God and you are the enemy of God. There's no other way to express it. And what you've got to do is come over to my side. I mean, that's what Jesus was saying. You've got to come over to my side. I'm not coming over to your side. And so I think because there's so many lies being promoted, the only thing, or at least one of the major things that we have to do, is boldly and unapologetically proclaim the uncompromising truth. And I think you've got, you know, George Washington used to say, the only thing we can do is lift up a standard to which good and honest men can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. And I think the same applies here. But you can't, you know, you can't split the baby, so to speak. You can't placate people and appease people who are just on the wrong side of the issues from a Christian perspective and from a, frankly, a patriotic perspective. I think you've got to call them to account. And I think people who know and love, people who love the truth, people who want the truth, that's what the Word of God says, that the people who follow Antichrist will do so because they did not have the love of the truth. I think people who love the truth, even if they're misguided now and they hear the truth, they'll go, wow, you know, I didn't know that. Well, thank you. And I've had that happen to me throughout my involvement with these issues. People coming up to me saying, man, I didn't know that. Thank you for letting me. You've changed my perspective on some things. And so I think that's the only thing we can do. I don't think this is a situation where we compromise these differences away. I think this is a situation, frankly, where we win, they lose. I think that's the only way it can work. because we can't be sort of a half communist country. We're either a free constitutional republic or we're something else. And I'm going to fight for the rest of my life to make sure, Robert, that we are a free constitutional republic. But thanks for the call, Robert, and we appreciate it. Call me back again with your thoughts. Let's see. Let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, David.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't know if you covered this already in the show because I wasn't listening to the first part of it. But I just wanted to say that I think that, you know, I recently read, this weekend, I think, I read a headline about either a mayor or a governor in Idaho that was recalled because of some things that they were doing. I think there needs to be a movement to recall these mayors and governors that are facilitating all this lawlessness and rioting and trying to break things down. That's what I wanted to say. I think there needs to be a movement in every one of these places to recall these officials and put them out of office.
All right. Well, thank you, David. I got it, and you're right. And I think where that is an option, you know, it depends upon the law of the state, but where that is an option, it's one that people certainly ought to pursue. Thanks for the call, David. Let's go to Bill in Texas. Bill, welcome.
Yes. Am I speaking to you?
Yes, sir. You are on.
Yeah. My name is Bill. I live here in New Orleans. I've been in this medical business for 60 years, and I just have some information for you. And then if you'll listen closely, in 2010, the big pharma went in and bought out FDA, and they now control FDA. They put in chemicals into food that create all kind of problems. That's why the average age for a child now to have cancer is 5 years old. TBHQ is a chemical that they put in. One of the things is Reese's candies and a number of others, and side effects is autism, and it's also cancer. If you'll Google and read about it, this is all truth. I'm not sharing anything that's not truth. And you'll read about it and see about it. And McDonald's used to put in their fries, but they had to take it out because the government made them take it out because it's poison. But they put it in all kind of candies, which all our kids eat. There's more money in an autistic child than there is in anybody. The vaccines, which they give 77 of them by the time they're 16 years old, the vaccines were created to create problems for pharma.
All right. Bill, thank you for the call. Listen, because we're coming to the end of the program, and while I'm sure the information you're sharing would be helpful to people, or at the very least interesting for people to know, we don't have time to go through that long list. I will say this, and I don't know all that Bill might have shared with us, but I will say this. I think he is right in general. There is clearly a problem. You know, we've had a tremendous increase in autism in our country. And there's no rational explanation for it other than what we are putting in our bodies. I mean, suddenly autism has vastly increased. I forget the exact numbers, but there's been a significant and statistically measurable jump in autism. And by the way, in ADHD too. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So there is, I think, something that all of us need to pay attention to in terms of what we're ingesting into our bodies and some of the chemicals and things that are put into foods. I don't think with the intention of hurting people, but just because it seems convenient or easy or it hasn't been fully tested out. But folks, that's going to do it for us. Wow, how do we end up on that particular topic? I've been reading a little bit about this too lately. But in the meantime, whatever the issue, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.